You're listening to Susie Radio 103.4 FM with me, Christine Muir. And today I'm talking to Nigel Clark, bassist and lead vocalist from 90s Britpop sensation Dodgy. Hello, Nigel.
Hello there, Christine.
Hiya. Thanks for taking time out to talk to me today. I know you're gearing up for your concert on Saturday. Best known, of course, for those people who don't know, and who doesn't know, 90s hit Staying Out for the Summer, If You're Thinking of Me, and Good Enough, your biggest hit, number four. So you're working on an album just now, and your album 2012, Stand Upright in a Cool Place. Now, I was trying to think of what that could be. It sounds like a bottle of wine. Is that what it is?
It's actually Matthew who came up with the title, found the title. He was listening to Radio 4 one day, and there was a guy who had gone round the world to find the meaning of life.
Okay.
And he was interviewed on Radio 4, and they said, well, did you find it? And he went, well, strangely, I did. And it was, I was in a toilet in some foreign country, and he looked at the bleach bottle next to him, and he picked it up, and it said, stand upright in a cool place, and he thought, that is the meaning of life. And then when you apply it to yourself, rather than a bottle of wine or a bottle of bleach, you actually realise that, you know, that's not a bad idea, actually, just to be where you are now.
Yeah.
Be, you know, relaxed and all those things, you know. So we went with that because, we, you know, the other things we came weren't as good, and that was quite prophetic, really, so we like things like that.
I like it. Yeah, it's memorable. It's very good. Now, originally, with a different lineup, you were called Purple, and then you changed to your final lineup and called yourself Dodgy. Actually, I prefer Dodgy, but how did that come about as well, the name Dodgy?
well, that was... I don't know, I can mention that on the radio. We were called Purple. Dodgy came about. I mean, it was like we were sort of out in London. We lived in London. And, Dodgy came out. We went out into the West End and lived in Hounslow. And we got a train back to Hounslow one Saturday night. And we just started laughing and joking about the fact that what if we called our band name Dodgy? Because everyone was saying Dodgy at the time.
It's one of those words, isn't it? Yeah.
It was one of those words. It was like, it never meant anything, like, sort of, you know, it never meant anything. Everyone would say, oh, that's a bit dodgy. And anything could be dodgy, you know.
Yeah.
Anything. I noticed, actually, on Homeland on Sunday that she went, yeah, it ran, it's a little bit dodgy. It was like, on Homeland, which is a weird one, the Americans get it now. So it was just something like, you know, when I was a kid, I was into punk bands and, like, The Damned and Clash and all these sort of things. And so I just thought it was kind of representative of what the sort of world was looking like to me and to us at the time. But also it was a great, we thought it was a good brand to have, like, attached to something. And then all that changed and it just stuck with us, and we're stuck with it
now.
Yeah,
I think it's a good name because you could say I've got a dodgy three-piece suite and people would think it was a sofa, but it's actually you and your album. So you can there's endless plays on words you can have with Dodgy.
That's the excitement of words, and we do like words as a band. But it's kind of like, you know, sometimes, you know, when we started earlier on, you know, back in the 90s, we'd play gigs and people wouldn't come and see us because they just thought we would be rubbish. People don't like messing around with, you know, people don't like messing around with their music. And if they think you're taking the mickey, which we're not, we're actually, we've got a lot of integrity towards our music. But the name didn't really mean that much to us, but it meant a lot because it was one of those words that everyone kept using. It could have been anything at the time.
I like it. I think it's a great name for a band. Okay, and on to your Christmas single, which I'm going to be playing shortly, Christmas at the Food Bank. And I've seen the video of this as well. It's quite sobering, actually. There's this guy basically wandering around collecting food from the food bank, and he's looking in Christmas windows and things like that. Good actor there, actually. I thought he played that really, really well, very sincerely. So the proceeds from the single supporting the Trussell Trust. And I'm just going to give the listeners a few statistics which surprise me. 60,000 people this Christmas will need to use a food bank. That's three times more than last Christmas. One in three UK children live in poverty, and one in five mums skip meals so that their children can eat. I mean, I've just looked into this because of your single, and I was just stunned by that. So it's a good cause there.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's, I mean, the figure's going to be higher than that. You can rely on that. It's going to be more than 60,000 people this year. Mm-hmm. It's also, I mean, it's all coming out now that, you know, it's not just people who are unemployed that are reliant on that or homeless. It's actually people who are in working on low wages, because the actual minimum living wage, a lot of people aren't getting. And so, you know, with energy prices and just the expense of food, people are relying on things like that. And I think, you know, you know, I believe that we do live in a caring society. You see things like charities like Children in Need, and loads of people give money towards that, which is really important, and children do deserve that, right? But I also think at Christmas especially, you know, it's become so commercialised, Christmas. The only time I hear Christmas songs, basically, in shops. Every time I go into my little, whatever it begins with, the tea supermarket, they've got Christmas songs on because it's trying to market to you and sell to you. And it's like, and I was asked to do a Christmas song back in September. I was going to do a cover and I was going to do a traditional. And I thought, no, I'm going to write a song about what I think Christmas should be about, you know? It's not about getting presents and stuff like that, really. I mean, for kids it is, but for me, I don't really need anything or want anything from my family. But actually, the most important thing would be nice is that we didn't have a situation where so many people were reliant on food banks in our communities. And it's the song is only to make people aware, and if they want to buy it, it is a good song. I'm really happy with it, even though I did it, wrote it, recorded and sent it off in 5 hours. I mean, it is kind of a rush job, but it doesn't sound like that. It's actually, I'm really pleased with it, you know. Sometimes you just do something that, yeah, touches a chord, and I think it has touched a chord of a lot of people.
Definitely. No, it definitely has. And also, in our region, which is the South East, I mean, it doesn't affect me because I don't see it. The food bank use in our region, in the South East, is up over 60%. So, yeah, it's a factor. And I'm thinking perhaps the bedroom tax as well has made a difference to people. So that's a kind of sobering thought. And, you know, it's a great, great thing for you to do. And I agree with you, presents, they don't excite me anymore. Christmas opening presents does not excite me because if you want something, you buy it.
No,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, I've got two children, but, you know, they're growing up now. They still like Christmas, but they're in the teens. But, you know, it's kind of, it's a bit like Groundhog Day for me, especially with the music and stuff like
sure.
that. I mean, give or take, you know, like, love the Pogue song, and I like hearing occasionally the Slade song, but it's almost like, it is like Groundhog Day when he wakes up.
It is.
And it's that same song, and it's like, so I did think I'm going to write something new. I'm going to write something, it's not a humbug song, it's not like, you know, I don't disagree with Christmas. I like the fact that families and friends are together and we get holidays and stuff like that, but it does concern me that the advertising world and the commercialisation of Christmas does leave out a massive population in this country who actually can't partake because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully,
a lot of people don't have a nice Christmas because they can't afford to.
No, I know. Well, that's it. So hopefully this your song will highlight that as well. So that is all good. So we're looking forward to your final gig as a band of the year. Now, this is organised by the Guildfest team, mainly Tony Scott and his gang. And now, you've played Guildfest before. Sadly, it didn't take place last year. What did you think of Guildfest?
Yeah, I've always loved that festival. I think it's, we were lucky. I mean, I think in 2008, and I played there probably 2006, when I did it solo. And I've played it a few times, and it's always been lovely. And it was even lovely when I played in 2012.
Even though it was muddy.
Yeah. And it was raining, and it's just, you know, that's going to hard, you know, that's hard for any festival to compete with the weather, you know. It's
sure.
difficult. You know, I mean, we are living in a society where people are allowed to sit at home and they've got so much going on around them that, you know, they can watch everything on TV and stuff. So getting people out is hard enough, but having pouring down rain is difficult. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it will be going next year. That would be great if it is.
Yeah, that would be good.
I've seen some great bands at Guildfest.
Yeah, so have I over the years. But meantime, this Saturday is going to be good. I'm kind of calling it a mini Guildfest because that's what I think it is, because you're going to be there, which is great. The Selector, we've got Blobby Williams and maybe Gaga. And I gather she's going to get up on stage and do a track with you as well, so that should be good. You don't know which one just yet. But she's mentioned in one of your tunes, What Became of You, isn't she?
She is mentioned in that. Well, Lady Gaga is. I mean, she could maybe sing that. I mean, she'll probably want to sing Good Enough because it's, the words are easier.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. And also, as regards your set, it's kind of become quite usual for bands, especially bands from a few years ago, to play one of their albums in its entirety. I know The Darkness, when I saw them just recently at Dorking Halls, played Permission to Land in its entirety. Are you going to be playing your new album?
No, I mean, we won't play songs off it. I mean, we did that last year. We did it this year. We did our new album, and then we did our first album, which was 20 years old this year. So we played two albums in one night.
Okay.
And then a few other songs, like, you know, the ones people
That's value for money.
They seem to be our two least successful albums commercially. Critically, they were probably our most successful, but commercially, they weren't. So it was like we played like 26 songs a night, which was quite knackering on the throat, I must admit, but yeah. It was good fun. But we'll probably just play a selection of all sorts, really. And hopefully we'll be able to play a couple of cover versions. We'll never know. You know, we never know until Saturday when we get down there. Matthew, the drummer, gets his pen and paper out.
That'll be good. Well, it's called the Crimbleby Ball. It's this Saturday. I guess you'll be on stage around sort of 9:10-ish, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's at the Rubik's, which is the Surrey University in Guildford, which I gather you've been to sort of in years gone by. So it'll be a trip down memory lane for you there.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, we've had a few. We used to play. I think we played there with the Manic Street Preachers when they were first starting out, and we supported them a couple of times. We also had quite a scary event happen, but I don't think we can go into that now.
Okay.
We had air brakes on a van, I'll do it quickly, and it's just parked on a hill, and I've got my foot on the air brakes, and I didn't realise that you have to keep pumping it, and so all the gears in the back of the van and the brakes just go, and we're just heading towards a train track.
That's
find
not
out next
good.
Week, see what happened, ladies and gentlemen.
That isn't good, is it? That is heart-stopping stuff. Oh, well, hopefully it'll bring back some good memories as well. And you're working on new material, so we've got another album from Dodgy coming out next year, is that right?
It seems to be really crazy, actually. We just released a live album in a month ago.
Right.
We did the launch of that in Camden at a jazz cafe, and we were doing that so we could afford to record our next studio album. So we released that, and then the week later Cherry Red came and offered us a record deal for the next album. So we had that out. Then Universal released Good Enough, which is a greatest hits of Dodgy up until I don't know when. They've put some new singles on there, actually, from our last album. So, and then the Christmas song. So, I mean, we're flooding the market. I don't know if anyone's buying any of it, but, you know, TV, really.
We're being well and truly dodgied, aren't we, at the minute?
Yeah,
which is all good.
Amazing.
No complaints about that whatsoever at all. So we're going to see some wacky videos, like the more VW camper vans flying through the air, or I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the video budgets are there from the Universal days, but I mean, I know we've got to do one, but we used to have this thing of going to foreign countries. So on our, you know, in our career, we went to Morocco, Holland, Jamaica, and Malta, weirdly. But we've done quite a lot of like travelling around and doing videos. It was good fun, but I think those sort of, the austerity in the music industry has come in, and so we'll probably be doing one in Brentford or somewhere, you know. but hey, it's okay, as long as it's funny.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me. I'll be there on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to meet you, Christine.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Pleasure.